Have your periods gone crazy? Ladies, knocking on 40 and up, this session is for you. Stay tuned. Tonight, my guest, she shares her story. She's a licensed clinical social worker who was experiencing horrible, heavy periods, painful cycles. Not very disfamiliar, right, to many of us. Cramping, clots, heavy clotting, and fatigue, very debilitating fatigue. So much of this. And it was happening after she turned 40. She knew this was not right. She had no clue what to do. She felt so bad, she even went on birth control. And you know that didn't work out well. Well, stay tuned to hear her story, okay? How she was able to find the happy, that's right, happy period, all right? But first, welcome to Detox Living, where we bring you tips, truths, and testimonials to power your toxic-free living. I am your host, Coach Jessie, fibroid survivor turned health activist, and founder of thedetoxnow.com, a holistic health platform that provides education and supplements to help combat the education and health disparities that lead to obesity, chronic disease, reproductive issues, lower life expectancy rates, and more. I say that with a heavy heart, as I'm remembering Jessica Pettway and the health inequities that led to her passing. We're gonna talk more about that later. Right now, I want you to stop and invite those who you know need to hear this. Your sister, your cousin, your auntie, your niece, your friend, because we have to be our sister's keeper. We have to empower one another to be our best advocates. If there's anything that Jessica's story reinforces and underscores, is that we can't advocate for ourselves enough. We can't advocate for ourselves enough. And we need to have a tribe of people who are not just supporters emotionally, but have accurate information and will help us to build healthy lives. So I don't want to delay bringing on our guest. Her name is Lucretia Cunningham. Again, she is a licensed clinical social worker. Among other things, I believe she's here in the chat. I'm going to bring her on. Cree, Lucretia, are you there? There she is. Hey, we're here. Well, you know, I wanted to, first of all, I love to start by asking my guests to share who is Lucretia Cunningham, right? May I call you Cree?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Who is Cree and what do you do? So they understand kind of the context of your life.
Okay, sure thing. Okay, so peace and blessings, everyone. Happy new day. I'm Lucretia Cunningham, or Cree Cunningham, as most people refer to me by trade. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I am a life coach. I'm a mommy mentor. And honestly, I'm just your all-around girl from Chicago. I'm a mom.
From the Chicago.
Yeah, from Chicago, because you know they say if you're from Chicago, if someone's from Chicago, you'll know within the first 5 seconds of talking to them. So now I make sure I add that in there. So I am an avid traveler. I'm a foodie. I'm actually a PhD student now, so I juggle quite a few things between mommyhood, private practice. I also run a nonprofit for perinatal mental health and adjacent services
as well. I love that. So, I love that. I love that. So, you know, one of the things I realize is that as a healer, right, working to help others through their trauma, through their changes, right, especially on the maternity continuum, where there's a lot of health inequities in Black women's health, in general, and then even more when it comes to Black maternal mortality.
Yes.
And helping people to just life, right? Because that's what I hear you do. You help people life authentically.
Yes. Right? Yes.
We can often fall into this trap of carrying the weight of those who we're serving and even neglecting ourselves. And sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just literally, like you said, life was lifing, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even though we're intentional about making sure that we're doing the self-work, we're taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you found yourself in a place where things were different. You know, for you, what were the warning signs? What was your body communicating, the warning signs that they communicated?
So, yes, what it felt like for me, it felt like my body reverted back to things that I had already thought I passed. A brief history growing up, I had very bad cycles. So I would dread my moon cycle time. That looked like extreme cramping. Like I was one of the girls that did not go to school for a day or two because it was so bad.
At what age? You know, this is like 11, 12?
This started at like 11, 12. And it took a few years before my mom realized like, oh, she is serious. Wow. Because she didn't experience the same things.
Wow.
And so when I came along, and I mean, it was just the nausea, the can't walk because the cramps were so bad. So that was a lot of my middle school, junior high school, and early college experience. And so, and that didn't really settle down until I had children, and that was my early 30s. Wow. And so after I had children, I really just changed my lifestyle completely. I became more holistic. I changed my diet. I changed the products that I used.
So it was a catalyst for your healing as you went into motherhood.
That
propelled you into healthier living for yourself.
It did. And that changed my cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they became more manageable. And so what happened right
can we stop
after
there
I turned
before you move forward? Can we just go back a little bit? Because I'm curious, growing up, because, you know, whenever I hear about heavy cycles as a child, I think about, you know, culturally, was it the foods that were at home? Like for me, I didn't have bad cycles, but I ended up with bad fibroids, right? But I can trace it back to a very, I'm a Caribbean background, Haitian background, and a very performance-based family where it was like, oh, you better be an A student, you better be perfect, like always having that pressure, you know? And then also, and that's very Caribbean too, but then also there was the, you know, trying to be, like you had to be better than everybody, like you had to do better, right? And then there was just the food was just a lot of rice, heavy meats, you know, no vegetables. I was like, man, I barely ever ate vegetables growing up, right? And then I grew up in a divorced home where it was a lot of emotional stress, right? And a lot of fighting, a lot of, you know, just yelling. And and I think about how that you know, I was just talking with a client how stress literally is like one of the number one drivers.
Absolutely.
Whether it's trauma, childhood trauma, or just living in a stressful environment, right, that causes that creates, affects your hormonal development, period.
Absolutely.
Now, whether or not I'm not asking you to dig in and talk about but if looking back now, can you trace any of that in your growing up?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. These are things that I talk about, you know, and I've discussed with, you know, some clients and wellness clients and things like that. But I can pinpoint various times throughout my childhood. I was a very high performing child anyway, you know, from all the way from like 4 until, you know, obviously now. And so that was the thing. There was a lot of pressure because with the high performance came a lot of expectation.
Right. A people pleasing, so, right? People pleasing.
Yes. And so with that expectation and that desire to perform and, you know, meet those perfectionist goals, if you will, there came a lot of stress.
Yep.
And then I can also identify stressful times in my life where, things happen in my environment and things like that with grief and various things. And I see how things progressed. Things that we would not have identified then because we just didn't have as much information.
We didn't have the language. We didn't have the understanding of the connection.
We didn't have the language.
Right.
Yeah. And so, and my mother, she is a home chef. So she's very good with bringing in different type of foods, vegetables. Like, so we had a wide array of things available to us to eat. But now understanding how stress and environment impacts your reproductive system and just your energy and everything else, I can pinpoint
where
things started to go awry.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really important because I think it helps us as we're raising our children, right? It really helps us also in understanding in the home, that we're building because it's fostering a certain environment, right? Like children are not, you're not just born with a heavy cycle. Now here's the deal. You can have trauma in your birthing that you pass on through because your nervous system is affected by the trauma you had growing up. Your nervous system affects your child. In birth, the child is born with more proclivity, right?
Absolutely.
More proclivity in terms of the fight or flight, the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest, is less dominant usually in a child that came from a fight or flight environment, right?
Absolutely.
Now that we have studies around that, we can understand, wait a minute, I'm not just affecting me, I'm affecting the next generation.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, and that is information that I try to share with my clients now, being that I work primarily in a perinatal space, right? Because a lot of people, especially in our community, don't understand the impacts of fetal stress syndrome, right? And then don't understand how various traumas and energies are trapped within our body for women, especially within our homes, and how that plays out within our reproductive cycles and just different things that happen.
And then also their emotional capacity, right?
Absolutely.
It shows up in the emotional capacity. So,
yeah.
So you can see where you can trace it. And then you were doing the healing work, because I'm just recapping what I heard you say. So then you were doing the healing work after you had your child, as you through your own pregnancy, you realized, wait a minute, this is I'm changing the path forward, right?
Yes.
And things then you were there. That's where you were.
Yeah, things evened out. So for me, I thought we're smooth sailing, right? Cycles are good. They're not bad. I'm not cramping. I'm not having any of those things that I thought were normal, at least for me.
Say that again. Things that you thought were normal.
Things that I thought was normal.
Why did you think they were normal?
Because, of course, when I talked to other people, went to medical providers, it was just that language. This is part of having a cycle. This is what a period is. Here's some contraceptive that'll help even it out. All the things that we still see and hear a lot of today, a lot of the misinformation, and that would take me into a whole different conversation about health equity for Black women.
So I think it's important, though. I just want to speak to the life of Jessica Pettway, who I mentioned earlier on. She's the YouTuber and influencer who passed away March 11th, but the news of her passing has been all over. I posted about it. So many people have posted about it. And the key thing that you just said, misdiagnosis, she was misdiagnosed to have fibroids, right? A year ago, in 2022, actually. And then in 2023, after the bleeding, she was like, but wait a minute, the bleeding, she's asked. The doctors are saying, you have a fibroid. It's just a fibroid. It's normal, right? Mm-hmm. After she's having crazy heavy bleeding. And then she's asking her friends, and they're like, oh, yeah, passing clots and all of this, that's normal. So here she is in a cycle of normalizing abnormal, right?
Absolutely.
From the medical community to her friends and her friend community, right? And then not getting diagnosed till the next year, getting diagnosed after she passed out in the tub bleeding. She had to have 18 transfusions, found out somebody finally examined her cervix, which I don't understand how you even get diagnosed with fibroids without being examined, right? To find out she had a massive tumor and it was stage 3 cervical cancer, an annual pap smear should reveal that, right?
Absolutely.
Like the inequities and the fact that it just breaks my heart. So I had to speak to it because we cannot advocate for ourselves enough. We can't.
There's none.
So the fact that you were told this was normal all your life. Do you know how many clients we have? This is the normal. The normal is that the abnormal is normalized.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then what happens is no early detection. Things don't get, when they do get addressed, they don't get addressed until they're a crisis or it's too late.
Absolutely. Which is why I urge my clients, those that are perinatal, those that are postpartum, those that have had children years ago, and even those that are still on their fertility journey and deciding whether or not that's what they like to do, we have the conversation often about being your own advocate and being your best advocate because, you know, just historically, we have not been heard, we have not been listened to, and it takes having the autonomy over your own healthcare, being able to do some of the research yourself, asking questions, but even more so than doing the research, being able to tap into yourself so much that your intuitive system and your inner guidance system tells you something is not right, and then following those breadcrumbs.
But the breadcrumbs, you find crumbs, you don't even follow them when you become tone deaf to your own body, when your voice. If you don't even trust your own voice, because
when you don't trust your own voice, and so that is often my urging. When it doesn't feel right, no matter how crazy you know you may think that you are, no matter how off it may seem, no matter how many times someone dismisses it, keep going until you find someone who does it.
Second, third,
going until you find someone who doesn't.
Right.
Because it's that one person, that one test, that one examination that can truly change everything for you. And you have the right to do it. I tell people the same thing with the therapist. You don't have to sit with the same therapist if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't fit.
That's
find
right.
what does.
That's right.
And so,
and you deserve it. Right. And you deserve it. Abundant health. It is your birthright.
Absolutely.
You deserve
it. Like that is literally the language that I use.
And
so that's kind of where I found myself on, you know, this back end of 40. Because first of all, let me tell you something. 40 came in very different, right? I feel like I asked a lot of the questions, but there was no way to really be prepared until it just happened.
What? Tell me more.
Starting to ease into 40, you know, at 39, things started to get a little different. And I kind of started to notice. I started to kind of notice a little weight gain, right? But I attributed
that. The hormonal imbalance was happening.
Yes. And I attributed that to grief because there were a lot of deaths and passings and transitions that had happened
that is
prior to my body shifting, which also did contribute to the hormonal imbalance, right?
Yes.
This is what
that's
saying.
That's correct. Yes.
And so
it actually will tip the scale.
Yes. And so as I approached 40, I just was like, you know, I don't think this is what it should be like. Like my cycle started to kind of go back. I started to feel discomfort where I hadn't felt discomfort before. And so, or in a very long time, I'll say. So I started, you know, trying different things. I went through this gentle fierceness program that kind of helped ease things a little bit. And that was allowing myself rest and really becoming more attuned with my body. And so I did that,
You tuned inward.
Yes, absolutely. And so I was dating a partner and just lifestyle then decided, well, let me try birth control, right? I thought it kind of worked before, but I really hadn't dealt with it in years because I understood what it did to my
heart. At that point, were you trying it because the bleeding was heavy, the pain, like the body was like?
A combination of things. It was a combination of all the things. It was a combination of wanting to regulate my cycles and also a combination of, let me try this birth control because I hadn't been on birth control in a very long time. And we just
but this
did not
could
want
be
to
the benefit.
It.
Like this could solve my problems on both
ends. It could. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to have any more children. So like, okay, let's see how this goes. But previous years, I didn't respond well to oral contraceptives. So I was like, you know what? It's been about 15 years. Let's try it and see.
What kind of reaction did you have before?
The mood swings, it just made my hormones go even more haywire, honestly. So I would have up and down moods. It would make my
It
cycles
fuels
lighter.
estrogen dominance. It fuels that because it's pumping your body, you know.
And for a body like mine that has enough estrogen, that small bit. So this time around, what I did, because I did realize that I can't have a lot of estrogen, extra estrogen, because I'm good. Like my body's like, we're good. We have what we need, right?
Estrogen needs to be balanced in order to be healthy. Once it's balanced, because you need balanced estrogen, you don't need too much or too little, it's not good. You need it balanced.
And so my idea was this time around, okay, I'll try birth control pills, but this time let me just do a low
Low
level of
dose.
estrogen.
Low dose.
And see how that works. And needless to say, 3 months in, of course, because of what birth control does, it did shift my cycle a little bit while I was on it for that 3 months. But the rest of the effects with my mood, my energy, everything else was not worth it. It wasn't worth it. And I felt the difference in my body because I had done this process of really getting to know me on all levels.
You
I
could
felt
hear
the
it, you could
difference.
see it, you could
I
feel
felt
it,
the
you
difference.
could right away.
And I
What
am big about how
were the
I
what were the big signs for you? What were there?
feel. I honestly, for me, most of the signs were more spiritual and energetic than they were physical. So even in some of my spiritual gifts, I wasn't hearing as clearly, right?
Foggy.
I wasn't discerning as clearly. I was very foggy. It was very cloudy. My body, I didn't feel good in my body. I didn't feel comfortable in my body, which was not the norm for me. And that's kind of when I'm like, no, all bets are off because I've become so well adjusted in who I am. Like, I'm
It
like,
was
this is
messing with your
it.
identity, your self-view,
Yeah,
your
like it
identity.
literally. And when I have the
And you know,
conversation,
that's interesting because it does have mental health implications, right? Because of
absolutely.
the estrogen imbalance will cause mood and mindset and mentality, like it disrupts that as well. So you may feel like, okay, it's not just my cycle is it's not as bad, but it's disrupt like it's better, but then that's masking the symptoms of the disruption it's causing, right? Because it's causing disruption.
And anytime we take that type of chemical,
Synthetic
it
hormones.
synthetic, it throws off the natural chemicals in your brain. And so now I'm messing with the neurobiology of my makeup. And so, it wasn't worth it. So I stopped it. And when I stopped, when I tell you it was like my body had went all the way back to 14,
Oh my.
it went back there. And now I'm back in heavy, 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 heavy cycles. There's clotting. There is long cycles. Like now it's 7 days. And I'm like, what? No, not 7 whole days. I'm not on Toni Braxton. Absolutely not. That's not my life. Like,
What
no.
was it
But
before? Was it 3 to 4 days? What was it?
it was more like 4 to 5. 4 to 5. And I was cool with that.
Yeah,
And
according to the National Institute of Health, 3 to 5 days is a normal cycle, and bleeding is supposed to be very light flow, no pain, minimal pain. Like that's what the normal period is supposed to be. But everybody's telling you, oh, it's normal for you to be feeling like you're
It's
dying.
normal. And when I tell you, I had so many PMS symptoms that I almost diagnosed myself with PMDD because it had gotten so bad and it disrupted so much. And then
For
I
people who don't
realized,
know what
like,
PMDD is, can you tell them that?
premenstrual dysphoric something
Hold
disorder.
on. PMDD. I'll get the actual words. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder, where you don't even, severe form of premenstrual syndrome that includes the physical and behavioral symptoms that usually resolve with the onset of menstruation.
Yes. And, you know, with PMDD, that usually would come about a week or so before, a couple of days before leading into. And I realized that I was back into that cycle where just my emotions, like I would need a good cry. And I mean, like lay out on the floor, bawling, cry before I would even out. And I'm like, I can't function like this. Because keep in mind, I'm still seeing clients full time.
Right.
I'm still in school full time. I'm still raising two whole children full time. Two whole children, right? My children are real boys, right? And I'm still running the nonprofit. So, like, I don't have time or space for this type of disruption. Right. Like, it just wasn't okay. And so at that point, that's when I started doing, you know, just juice detox, a tea detox, a cleanse, like all the things I am
just
trying.
Just coming and reaching.
Yes, all of it. Whatever I could get, I was trying because I knew that I needed to reset. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to reset.
So what was the breaking point for you? Tell me the story of the breaking point.
The breaking point of deciding I needed something else, all of the things combined, you know, I really can't even say there was a specific day that I was just like, enough was enough. As soon as I realized what was happening, that was enough.
How did you realize?
Because I was in that pattern. I was having pain. I was having a lot of discomfort.
So once you see the first time it happens, you're like, second time it happens, you're like,
yeah, it was really much like that. The first time it happened, I was already kind of eyes open, like, all right, let me just. And then I was like, okay, I'm awake because I realized I came off of the pills. And so I do understand what that does.
Yeah, so it could have been like that.
So I was like, let me kind of let it all come out my system, right? And so let me see what that does. And so after about maybe 3 or 4 cycles, I was like, okay, this mess should be out of my system by now. Because I hadn't taken it for that long. And so that's when I start kind of doing the cleansing stuff, trying to reset my system and trying to flush it out, even if you will. And so I did those things for probably about 6 or 7 months. And meanwhile, I'm noticing that, again, my cycles are not easing up. Like, and so now I'm starting to have heavy clotting, which is not okay with me.
And it's not, and it's not normal for you. It's just,
it's not normal.
We're not going back to
normal for anyone. You know, it's not normal for anyone. No. And because I have so many family members and clients who have had challenges with fibroids and have gone to practitioners that are just like, oh, you know, it's fibroids. You get them. It's common. I am a firm believer that no, these things are your body's way of telling you that something has seriously disrupted it.
That's right.
And now we need to go back, figure it out, unpack it all, and then put it somewhere else outside of you.
That's right.
Right. So I was not okay with that dynamic. I was not okay with waiting around to see how long it would take to even out. I was not okay. Like, I wasn't okay.
Good for you.
And so I just start searching. I start searching and I start looking because I'm like, there has to be something. I myself, I am very big into plant medicine, herbal medicine. So, you know, I'll grow plants, make tinctures, eat different plants and, you know, do all of the things. So I'm like, it has to be something out here. And I just wasn't able myself in enough, in what I thought was enough time to remedy what was happening. And it was affecting my relationships. It was affecting my work because I had gotten to the point where I only had one good week really out the month of functioning well. Because a week before my cycle, I'm going through these PMS and PMDD symptoms. Then now my cycle is a full 7 days. Now after my cycle, I'm recovering from it for a good 4 to 5
days. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's not, your period is, your cycle is not supposed to take over your life.
It's not. And it had become that. And as a clinician, I understood how that would start to affect my mental health.
Of course.
If it carried on for too long. right? Because I still have stresses and pressures and life and family and things happening with family and people needing care and all of that. And so what happened, algorithms for the first time actually
sometimes it works for you.
were actually in my favor. And I really just feel like it was divine guidance because I was diligent. And even in that, because I'm very spiritual, so I'm still praying like, okay, whatever is going to be the thing, show me that. I don't want to wait. I'm tired. And so the detox now popped up in my feed. It was one of the ads or the sponsors or something like that. And I think I saw it about three times.
Now this is evidence, people. See, people say to me, well, I said, well, the first time you see it, you're probably not going to pay attention. So now I don't even know when they're running because our team, our advertising team is on that. But the point is, if you need it, it's going to take a few times. You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Because it did. And, you know, because there's so much that is spam.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. Got to break the clutter.
I'm very hesitant. So I think the first time it was kind of like my stories were just scrolling and I saw something and I'm like, okay, keep going. And then the second time it was kind of one of those things again in my stories and I was like, oh, okay. And then the third time I saw it, it actually popped up in my feed, but it wasn't just that type of, I guess, like promo ad. It was somebody's someone story. Talking.
Somebody's story.
Yeah, and tell it. And it kind of caught me because it was going and I didn't have my phone. So I heard the words before I saw the video. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. What is this? Yeah, and then I picked up my phone and I was like, oh, I've been seeing that. And so I did. I watched the little video, and then because I'm a researcher, now I have to go to all of the Instagrams, all of the websites, and so I'm digging.
Did
and
you
I'm
did looking deep dive?
I did, because I also want to make sure that I can do my checks and balances, right?
You better do your checks and balances.
And what caught me was when I went to the website and looked at the ingredient list, the fact that the ingredients were there and easily accessible was my first.
There's no hiding of the ingredients because you got to know. Right. You got
to
know.
Because you have to know.
That's right.
Right.
The herbalist who actually formulates our supplements is on right now. It's Martin Benjamin, known as Dr. Amun. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You got to. We have to make sure.
Yes.
You know, some people actually will put wrong information up because they don't want you to know what the herbs are. Is that crazy? That's evil.
What they do.
That's wrong.
That is what they do.
That's wrong.
That is what they do. It's very wrong.
Yeah.
Which is, so that's why I am constantly like checking. And so when I looked at the ingredients, and see, the one of the ways that you can tell when a product really has the ingredients is because, again, you know, I deal with herbs, so I know a lot of the contraindications, right? So when I see the way it's formulated,
good for you.
And I'm like, oh, okay,
you know,
ashwagandha,
this can't be put with that. That's somebody who don't even know.
Exactly. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is for real.
Okay.
You know, this is for real. So I felt safe trying it. And, you know, as a Black woman in any type of healthcare space, feeling safe is necessary.
Girl, and that right there. Say that word again, because that's why I do this. Say it again. Safe.
Safe.
Make us
safe
to heal.
Yes.
Safe to heal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And so, because that's what I look for. That's what I provide in my practice.
Right.
So it's very important for me to look for those same things for myself.
Absolutely.
So I ordered that day. Like at that point, I was just like, I'm done. Like, this is it. And so I ordered and I was like, all right, when it comes in, you know, I'll see and I'll get started. And so it came in the mail and I was excited. So I was actually driving somewhere and I saw it was delivered. So I kind of went back around.
You know, you went back
and
got
I came
it.
Back around.
Don't let nobody take around. My package.
Yeah. And so now I got it out the mailbox. I came back in the house and I opened it up then. And then I took a quick video like, hey, I'm starting this. I took a picture. And so I started it then.
Wow.
Because that's how serious I was about changing
for you.
This dynamic for me. And so I will say that when I try stuff, I don't I don't do it every day because I want to kind of see how my body reacts.
So I love that you said that. I love that you said that because, you know, some people, especially when you're sensitive and you understand, you're like, you know what, let me take a dose and then give myself a C, you know, like see if I have a reaction. And, and again, that's also one of the reasons why all of the ingredients are listed, because we want to make sure, like, if you have any allergies, you know, all of that, right?
Important. That is important. Mm-hmm. That is very important. And so that's what I did. So I actually started just taking it once a week.
Wow, good for you.
I started taking them once a week. And that was like mid-December. That was mid-December. And I was still kind of just like once a week, kind of maybe twice a week into January. Wow. And then I had my first cycle in January.
Wow.
And there were changes. And so then I was like,
okay, this is an indicator. This is a good indicator.
You know, in my language, literally what I said to myself and my friends, I was like, oh, we got action.
We got action. Let's go.
So then I'm like, cool. Like, instantly, my days were shorter.
Wow.
Like, my cycle stopped in January, and I didn't even realize it was, like, it came on so easefully. And it hadn't been like that,
easy come, easy go.
Yes. And I was just like, okay. And so then, so in February is when I really was like, well, the end of January and into February, I'm like, okay, let me get on these. Let me make sure I'm fit. Like, yes. And I did. And I absolutely leveled it up. And, you know, again, in February, I noticed more of a difference. And I was like, okay. So now I'm telling people about it at this point, because I'm always the test. I'm always the test. Yes. Like, I'm going to test everything on me first. And then, so now I'm telling my family and friends, like, hey, okay, boom, this is working. This is working. Let's look at what other products they have, because, you know, different people have different things. So now I'm like, hey, let's look at it. And then, and so February came, easy breezy, like, you know, smooth sailing. Again, it came on. It was minimal discomfort, right? So there's always, for me, and this has always been, even when my cycles were easy, when sometimes when they start, it'll be easeful, but I'm gonna feel it. I might feel a little discomfort as my uterus is kind of, you know, like, all right, girl, we gonna do it. You know,
and gonna feel something, because it's not, the other thing is, you're not a person also who's just like laying around and chilling. Yeah. You're being about that life. You're you know, you're living, you're working, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's just part of, discomfort is not, you know, pain that's got you debilitated.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Like, it's nothing that I have to take medication for or that I have to lay down for, because I'm one of those people, I know when I'm ovulating, like, I feel that. Right.
But guess what? That is you should know. That is an indicator. You should know when your body's ovulating. You should know, okay, things are happening, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so February, I was like, cool. And so I'm taking it daily, right? So I'm taking it daily.
I'm going to tell them. So you've been taking the prevention kit, right?
Yes.
The prevention kit has MASS, which helps to control chronic inflammation, which is critical to any kind of disruption in your body, right? Mm-hmm. And also balance, which is for hormonal balance, a period reliever. Helps to balance those hormones, which is critical for energy, for the bleeding, for the pain, all of that. And D3, critical for immune system.
That's the goat right there.
That's
the goat right there. Because, and let me say this, so many people of color experience, you know, D deficiencies. And then you go to different places and they're giving you D1 or D2, and we need D3 in order for it to even penetrate on a level where we're going to see the difference, right? And then sometimes even the D3 you're getting in these synthetic substances, some of those chemicals can make you sick and disrupt your system. Your body doesn't like it,
right?
Your body doesn't absorb it properly,
right?
And so I was one of those that prior to that had tried different D supplements, different D gummies and things like that. And so when I started taking this one, because there were, so again, I'm a tester, I'm a researcher. So I'll have days where I'm like, okay, what? especially like my more fatigue days, just because life is happening, I'm gonna just do the D3 today.
That's right.
And see the how impact. That yes, yep. You know what I'm saying? And then if I'm on my cycle and, you know, like when it first starts, then I'm like, okay, you know what? I think I might level up a little bit on the yep. balance, right? Mm-hmm. And even taking them separately, mm-hmm. I still see the impact. And it hasn't derailed any of the effects, right? And so that's how I know when something is a good product. You know what I'm saying? Because when things can work independently mm-hmm. and work in the system,
yes.
you know, that's when you know you have something.
No, it's so true. And going back to the thing you were talking about, D3 is critical because it's connected to, first of all, we didn't say it, but we're going to say it. You mentioned it, that with people of color, our melanin blocks the absorption of the sun. And the sun, the UVB rays from the sun, is what our body absorbs in order to form D3 hormone in our bodies. The D3 is a hormone, and the D3 hormone is, it helps actually regulate controls of the growth hormone, right? It's connected mm-hmm. to our immunity, mm-hmm. right? It's also, mm-hmm. it's very connected to our rest and digest, right? So our ability to sleep is directly connected to D3 levels, our body's regulation of calcium. There's so many things, that are connected to D3. Like, it is insane, right?
Absolutely.
And it's very linked to why people of color, even depression, mood, right? It's very linked to why people of color are disproportionately affected by certain things. Because most of us, 78% of people of African Americans are D deficient.
Yes.
Because our melanin blocks the absorption of the sun, and we're not being told to supplement.
Yes.
Right. So that was absolutely. Like the genesis behind our prevention kit was that was actually identifying three preventable health issues that disproportionately affect people of color. So it was hormonal imbalance, mm-hmm. it was chronic inflammation, and D deficiency, right?
I love that.
Right?
Yes.
So for you, that makes sense, right?
It absolutely makes sense. And it's necessary on so many different levels, because for me, of course, at this point, I was looking to remedy a problem, an issue. But it's so important for us to prevent them from happening.
Yes. You know? Yep.
And so when we can have very open, very transparent, very authentic conversations like this, you know, especially when you're talking to a mother that can then go get products for, you know, their teenagers, you know what I'm saying, and adolescents. And so that we can start preventing, because again, being in this field, being in a mental health field, I've worked in hospitals and, you know, even having to do wraparound care, so much of what we're doing is reactionary. And if we can
preventative side. For me, you know? That's critical because we know that the system is already failing us, right? We know that. So we have to be more radical about our prevention because we have to be the cavalry. Like I said, so people talked about these cases like, we have to fight for our lives while we're fighting for our lives. Literally. While we're fighting for our lives, we have to fight for our lives. Right?
Every day.
And I mean, easy example. I had a brain aneurysm, and in 2020, right after during the pandemic, the end of the pandemic, and I got a CTA, which is the CT with the contrast to check the blood vessels in my brain, and because of chronic kidney disease that I genetically was diagnosed with since birth. It makes you more at risk for an aneurysm. So I had a terrible headache for 3 days, and it was the worst headache of my life. And I was like, something's wrong, right? And I went to the hospital after I texted my nephrologist, and he was like, go get checked. And had the test done. The doctor says to me, after they found a significant aneurysm, he says, you have a significant aneurysm. And he says to me, I can fit you. We're going to do a craniotomy, and I can fit you into my calendar 8 days from now, so you can go home and come back.
Because we send people with an
with their pressure. So my pressure was through the roof because of the pain. So now if your pressure is not controlled, what happens to the aneurysm? It ruptures.
It ruptures.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the point is, fighting for my life. Now I had to manage around this. I was like, sure, you know what? Once you get the pain under control, I can go home. Because once you get the pain under control, my blood pressure will be under control. And to the tune of
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on that. Because I mean, the risk of stroke or heart attack before the aneurysm even ruptures.
You see, but guess how many black women went home in that scenario? Mm-hmm. And it ruptured and they didn't make it.
Yeah. And they didn't make it.
How many? I'm an advocate, so I knew I had to say, I couldn't be like antagonistic, because I was like, this right now, I need to think about trying to get myself the care that I need, right? So I couldn't be like, oh, if my name was Becky, you wouldn't be sending me home, right?
Right.
Which is what I wanted to say, right? If I was your sister, you wouldn't be sending me home, right?
Right. Right?
So, but going back, like, that's why we have to focus on prevention. I want us to focus on prevention so that we have less crises to deal with, right? So we have to keep our vitamin D levels high as people of color. That's the other thing I want to say. Stop letting doctors tell you that your D3 levels are normal when they're at 30. That is the low range. You need them to be between 50 and 80. Stop. You can't fight the hormonal imbalance. You can't fight the chronic inflammation. No. You can't fight half the stuff your body is fighting if your D3 levels are just at 30. Stop letting them tell you they're normal because they're at the low normal. Stop it, please. Mm-hmm. Please. Keep them around between 50 and 80. Nice in the 70s. Keep them in that range. Mm-hmm. Because that is how your body has the strength to fight what it has to.
Absolutely.
Women in menopause, that's where you want your D3 level to be, so that it helps your body to fight those symptoms, to regulate those symptoms, to not be as symptomatic. Mm. Right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And then hormonal balance, we're so thrown by the chronic stress, the trauma of racism is always throwing our balance, our hormonal balance off. So we need to be intentional, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
We need to be intentional about helping our body control the levels of chronic inflammation. And if we do those three things, please, if you're not, don't wait till your cycle is crazy. Don't wait till you're dealing with, you know, a autoimmune issue. Right. Don't wait till you're dealing with, you know, cancer. Don't wait. Be prevention focused. And how about this? Let's react to the warning signs like my sister Cree did. She said, wait, hold on. This cycle's not supposed to be like this.
Listen.
She didn't wait till it became fibroids. She didn't wait till it became endometriosis.
Absolutely.
She didn't wait till it became PCOS or thyroid issues or breast cancer. Mm-hmm. She didn't wait.
Yeah, and I will say this. I know that for me, I am blessed because I'm in a space where I see so many different things.
Yeah.
And I'm already helping so many different people.
Yeah.
So I can be more sensitive, you know, to some of those warning signs. And so for people that do have experience, for people that consider themselves even experts in a space, it's so important to create these conversations, you know, and it doesn't have to always be on a large platform. You don't have to wait until you get, you know, however many followers to have these kind of conversations.
How about your niece comes home from
conversations
and her cycle is abnormal? Like, hold on a second. Let's talk about what you're doing. Let's talk about what's going on.
Yes. Have these conversations in your circle. You know, I'm so straightforward with my clients and my friends, but I tell people all the time, if we can talk about this man or this woman or this relationship or how you're doing this, if we can talk about money, if we can talk about goals, we can absolutely talk about the nitty-gritty of health.
Right.
Because that is part of who we are. And so being able
there is
to
no
have
us without our health.
There's no you.
Everything
is connected. It's all connected. And when you neglect one part, you neglect all parts. And that's just the truth of the matter. Because even if you don't see it manifest right then, that neglect will manifest in some other space or some other way and cause some disruption.
I love that you say that. Because guess what? Fibroids is a symptom. I know it's a condition, but it's also a symptom of those root causes.
Yes.
Right? And when women have a surgery but don't change the lifestyle factors that contribute to these root, hold on, am I preaching too hard? When we have the procedure, and many of us need the traditional surgical, you know, intervention, but please don't have the intervention and not support your body healing from the inside out. Because that estrogen dominance, that trauma, the stress, the chronic inflammation, the hormonal imbalance, right? The vitamin D deficiency that's still there is going to create havoc someplace else.
You cannot. And I mean, but you know, that conversation can span across a wide range of topics.
Absolutely.
You can't go back to old things once you've introduced something new, right? Because the things that are toxic, the things that have caused dis-ease will now simply eat away.
That's right.
Right. At what's new. And so even, you know, and so that is very important to, if you have to have the surgeries and the corrective actions and things like, first of all, I'm a absolute do what you need to do.
That's right.
For
you
your
better
health.
Do what you need to stay alive.
Yes. And then use the information that you have to now do better.
Yeah.
Right? To now do better. So you give yourself a better chance of living longer, having a better quality of life, and not having to relive the things that you've already healed and recovered from.
Amen. And on that note, so I will leave last question. What would you tell a person who is in your shoes, who's at a crossroads right now with their health, struggling, you know, to make a change to what we call detox living, life free of toxic thoughts, people, habits, foods, a healing lifestyle?
What would I tell a person that is at the crossroads?
Yeah. Maybe they're dealing with a heavy cycle like you were, or maybe they're dealing with fibroids, or maybe they're dealing with, you know, some sort of, they're in a place where they know this is not good. Mm-hmm. I'm suffering.
I simply would tell them kind of the same things that I told myself, you know, when it doesn't feel well, and when you know it isn't well, trust yourself. That's the first thing. Trust yourself. Trust what you hear. Trust what you feel, right? And then start a path of learning. Gain information. Do your due diligence. And just really look for the things that call to you. But also in that process, give yourself grace for the not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself for not knowing what you haven't yet learned, because that part of the process is coming for you. And then be open, right? Be open to different ways of healing, because it may not look the way that you thought it would. It may not look the way you're used to things looking.
Right.
And just simply be open to the process and trust yourself. Research everything.
Yeah.
Ask questions. You know, mostly everything should have a number or email attached to it. If you have some questions, if you're not sure, call, email, chat, ask questions, get your questions answered.
Right. You DM'd me and then we had a conversation.
Absolutely. You know, so get your questions answered. And then finally, I'll really tell them, as you're doing your due diligence, pay attention to the testimonials and the stories.
Yeah.
But not just the testimonials that you may see, that's a sentence, you know, not just something that looks like it could have been manufactured or kind of AI generated. Look for real people. Mm. And if you can't have a conversation with whoever is offering, then that's when you know you might need to find something else. But trust yourself. You trust yourself to know that something isn't right. So trust that you're going to be guided to what you need and simply be open to healing. And finally, know that healing is yours and it's your birthright.
It's at your any birthright. Point
when you choose to heal, that healing will start to happen. So let that be your safe space.
You know,
I
love that you shared all that. And for you, when you heard that, you know, you saw the ad and the third one hit for you, what was it about it for you that spoke to the authenticity? You said it was a conversation. Was it one of these conversations, like an IG live? Was it, what was it?
It was kind of like, I think it may be like, it was like a replay or recap of an IG live.
Oh yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was brief. What I heard was just a few minutes, but what really captured me was the depth of the conversation, because it wasn't very surface. A lot of times when you see people promoting products and doing things, the conversation is very surface. Mm-hmm. Someone may give their story, but it's still very ground level, right? And so when I heard a conversation,
I know what you know, not rooted, it's got no roots to it. Yeah.
Yes, so when the conversation kind of went deep and the person started to really share there, and I was like, oh, you know, because if you're experiencing these things, you kind of know what they feel.
You know
like.
What's you know real. What you know what's
yeah,
authentic.
You know it's real. So when you hear it, it resonates.
Resonates. For me, that's a big piece, is that, you know, when I can, you know, I'm very spiritual, like you speak about being spiritual, and I can tell something when it's authentic, you know. Because that's the other thing, is you have to find your tribe, right? If you're listening and you're on here, I welcome being part of your tribe. I would love to, right? However, I want you to know, if I'm not the one to be a part of your tribe, please just find your tribe. Find the people who connect, who you feel connected to and who you feel elevated by, okay?
Absolutely.
That's so important, because you have to have your physicians. You have to have trusted voices in your life, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know what? I have, we call them the advisory board of directors in my life. Who are the board of directors people that I go to for my finances, for my health, for relational, right? I've got those who are like, you know what? I trust, because the heart of the person is one that I feel safe with. Mm-hmm. Right? Safe. I feel safe with their intentions. That's number one. I don't feel judged. I feel welcomed and accepted.
Absolutely.
Right? That's really critical. And I know that this person's not trying to put themselves above me, but that they're on this journey with me. And though they may be a mentor, meaning they may, hopefully they're a mentor. They know things. They have things to share. Like, you don't want, my father-in-law says, don't hang around with broke people, because if there you hang around with 9 broke people, you're about to be the 10th one.
So that's right. That's right.
They need to be elevated.
Let me tell you, what you said was so important, because I think that's what a lot of people don't really understand. When you go to providers or coaches or mentors and things like that, and you're really trying to know if that's your tribe and that's where you should be, they'll have a lot of information. But one thing, a really true authentic person is never going to do is try to tell you more about your body and your experience. That's one of the things that I appreciated when I really started to kind of dig deep, and I listened to you talk to different people and they're sharing their stories, and, you know, as different chats and things happening, I never once heard you try to tell someone more about their individual experience than they knew. Right? And so that's how, when you're looking for people, you can really identify what's a safe space, because they give you that space.
They have to hold your space. Like, I need to know what's going on with you. So I can't help you. I'm not putting in what's in my head in you. I gotta see what's really going on with you. I mean, that's,
yeah.
And that it's about creating that safe space for Absolutely. You, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really appreciate, you know, this conversation, because I think that, you know, speaking to someone who does healing work, who does mental health work, who does that, you know, I appreciate the level of insight that you brought to the whole journey, right?
Thank you.
And sharing so openly and candidly about your own experience, because I take it back to the beginning. I want people to understand that part of healing where we are, and you said it earlier, what's manifesting in our lives in dis-ease is a break in our peace. Dis-ease, right? It's a break in our peace. And we have to identify, what are those things that break our peace? What are those things in our lives, in our brain, upbringing? It doesn't mean that it can be something that's from your past. Yes. We've been carrying many times. It's trauma that we've been carrying, and it's shaping our relationships. It's shaping our self-view. It's shaping the way we can. And we don't understand that, you know, like some people said, someone was talking about the root of fibroids, and they said, it's, you know, I've been eating vegan all my life, and I just kept fibroids kept growing. I wanted to say, well, what's the trauma like in your life? If you could eat all the plant-based organic or, you know, clean meat and clean chicken, you can eat all the clean foods you want. And if the stressors in your life haven't been eliminated, that's not going to matter, right? You can eat all the clean food. And if your vitamin D deficiency is low, you mean you have vitamin D deficiency? That's not going to matter, right? Like, that's why I keep saying, multiple factors, and really it's connected to, like you said, a lot of things across the board. What are the levers and helping to trace that so you can have healing that's sustainable.
That is sustainable, because you deserve to live well. You were put here to live well.
That's right.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate this conversation
very much. Oh my God. I enjoyed this very much. Thank you for having
me. You, and I'm so glad and so honored to be a part of your journey of healing. Oh my God.
Absolutely. Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
We're going to keep it going.
Locked in. Absolutely. I am locked in. I am about to start my mother on a few supplements as well. So she's here. She's visiting. She's here in Atlanta with me now.
Awesome.
So we're going to kind of get her some things as well. Awesome. And
Well, we appreciate it. And you know, follow, of course, Cree. And, you know, if you have any issues that, you know, you're dealing with chronic pain, with fibroids, with, it can be insulin resistance, high blood pressure, it's just dis-ease in your body. You know, we're here to support you with the information we have, programs we have, as well as supporting you with connecting you with people who you may need to work with. You know, maybe it's the right, like with fibroids, you know, we have physician partner, Dr. Pierre Johnson, who is literally the best surgeon that I know of, that I would say if I would get on the table tomorrow when it comes to fibroids, I would be flying to Chicago. That's how much I trust, you know. So in other words, we care about making sure we're connecting you to the people who we know can be trusted. And of course, there are a lot of other people. So the point is that we care about you. I invite you to definitely take our free quiz, you know, book a free consult so that we can see how we can help you optimize your health, because you deserve abundant health. Okay. You deserve abundant health. I can't say it enough. You deserve it. The happy period, the vibrant energy, the restful sleep, the fired up libido, like all of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Cree. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to post the replay so you guys have access. And please do not hesitate to reach out, because we're here for you. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.